Our homily this morning is based on the scripture reading that was previously read. Please be seated. In the name of our living Lord and risen Redeemer, Jesus Christ, amen. Beginning of our text, leaving the temple with his disciples, Jesus uses that occasion to teach them a very valuable truth about the destruction of the temple and concluding with talking about the signs of the end of the world. Jesus connects the prophecies concerning Jerusalem and concerning the final judgment. The temple was Herod's crowning architectural achievement. Beginning in 19 BC, the first phase of construction required for the temple took 10 years. But not until 63 AD would the temple be completed. 7 years, only 7 years before its destruction by the Roman legions. The Jewish nation was still very hampered by the notions of a material kingdom. The temple was the center of Jerusalem, and it was the center of Jewish worship. Jerusalem was all the world to them. Their attachment to Jerusalem was more than just patriotism. It was a religion to them. They regarded that building with national pride, with a deeply religious interest. And now they heard that the end of Jerusalem was soon to come. And these stones, which they had so very much admired, would be thrown down. It was like a death blow to them. It was the end of the world in their minds. The Romans took away their temple and their nation. The destruction of the temple also involved abolishing the Levitical system. It was the end of their dependence on material forms in order that the spiritual reality might fully occupy the people's minds and hearts. Christians realize that the church is a spiritual institution independent of any material forms. Our Lord God Almighty looks at the heart. Interesting that it has been stated that in the New Testament, one passage out of approximately every 25 in one way or another speaks of Christ's second coming and the judgment connected to it. The one who came and gave his life to save the world is the one who is coming also to judge the world. Jesus is going to come suddenly, unexpectedly, when the world is not looking for him. Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. God told Noah that the people would have 120 years to repent. Throughout those 120 years, the people must have laughed and ridiculed Noah for being such a fool to build a three-story barge on dry land. Jesus said, in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Jesus goes on to say, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The sons-in-laws of Lot must have laughed at him when he spoke about the impending destruction of Sodom. After Lot left the city, Sodom lay in ashes. It has been said that a man can live 40 days without food, 7 days without water, 3 minutes without air, but a person cannot live 1 second without hope. There is no medicine like hope. The expectation that tomorrow will be better than today. And for us as Christians, our hope is no idle dream. Our future can burn brightly with our expectations because of Jesus' promise, I will come again. Every eye will see Jesus on that day. Our text states that not one believer will be lost. Wherever they may be, in the remotest corners of the earth, or lying in long forgotten graves, the angels will gather all the elect together. from the shacks to the palaces, from the crowded cities to the desolate wilderness, the angels will bring every one of God's elect to the Lord. Those that have loved, that he loved, that he died for, that he arose victoriously for, those believers that believed in Jesus, that loved and trusted in Jesus, even unto death. And we are all included in that number that the angels will gather together on that great day. We are Jesus Christ, bought with his precious blood. For all of us, Jesus is the very life of our souls. Our text goes on to state that Christ's truth is from eternity and cannot but help but abide forever. It is easier for the heavens and the earth to pass away than for the word of Jesus Christ to fail. The Holy Spirit has created a most holy faith in our hearts, a foundation that we are to build upon throughout all of our days upon this earth. The means of grace, the word of God, abides forever, and the sacraments are our lifelines to God. God has given us the means of grace to strengthen our faith and offer forgiveness of all of our sins to our guilty consciences. Not only has Christ promised to return, but he also expects all of us to be eagerly watching and waiting for that great day. It is so very tempting, especially during this last week of final exams, to fix our eyes on earthly matters, our earthly relationships, the things that we have on this earth that one day will be sold in an estate sale 10 cents on the dollar, to be filled with sinful pride about what we're doing in this earthly life. The strong bonds of this earthly life need to be broken. As pastors, future pastors, and Christians, we remain faithful and watchful by fixing our eyes on Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior. The more we are focused on Christ, the less we will be distracted by the world around us. A young British pastor once wrote, "I feel that when I can say the coming of the Lord draws near, I have a weapon in my hand. And I can go to the struggling Christian against whom the battle seems to go badly and say, 'Fear not, the Lord is at hand and he will bruise Satan under your feet shortly.' To the suffering Christian, I can say, 'Weep not, the Lord is at hand. Your torn heart will be healed and your suffering will be forgotten in the joy of our reunion with Christ forever.'" The young pastor practiced what he preached. Each night before going to sleep, he would open up his curtains and, lifting his eyes to the heavens, say, "Perhaps tonight, Lord, perhaps tonight." Then in the morning, he would gaze out that same window and say, "Perhaps today, Lord, perhaps today." We need to have the same focus, the same zeal, as that young pastor who hoped and prayed that each day would be the coming of our Lord. Oh, what a great day that will be. We will be able to look upon our King of Kings in all his glory, and it will last forever. The more we love Christ, the more we will long for him to return. A favorite hymn of many Christians is "Lift High the Cross." I know it's one of my favorite hymns. As we daily focus our lives and our ministries on the cross of our living Lord and risen Redeemer, may we constantly look up and look forward with eager anticipation to his coming, trusting in the salvation which he has prepared for each and every one of us. Let us live as if Christ died yesterday, arose this morning, and is coming back today to take us to be with him in heaven. For as Jesus testified concerning his coming, "I am coming soon," Jesus says, we can lift our eyes into the heavens and with joy pray with John and all the redeemed children of God, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.